Chapter 1. Reviews are in for the He-Man Masters of the Universe Netflix adaptation. Kevin Smith is a liar.
What's going on, everyone? Jeremy here from The Quartering. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm still in recovery mode from last night, but I've got a nice lunch in me now and I'm feeling a little bit better. I hope you're having a good day. You know who's not having a good day? Fans of He-Man. Now, the Netflix original series or continuation, helmed by Kevin Smith, appears to be extremely concerning. You know, from the beginning, we were concerned, many fans of He-Man were concerned with what they would do with the hyper-masculine character, considering it's both Netflix and 2021. Kevin Smith vehemently denied that they would emasculate He-Man and turn the female characters into the lead. He outright called out other YouTubers, Clownfish TV, which has been right since the beginning. Credit where credit is due. They've been on this report directly since the beginning. Kevin Smith directly told them that they were full of baloney. And it turns out that everything we're seeing in Masters of the Universe reviews is that, yeah, they disrespected He-Man just like we knew they would. And they were right. Just some of the early reviews. Grace Randolph on an early review of Masters of the Universe, Revelation. There's a lack of a strong male lead or strong male supporting character. I guess that sums it up, right? A boy show with the main character called He-Man lacks a strong male character. Let that sink in. And you see here, Confucius saying, He-Man becomes She-Man, it's 2021, it's Netflix, so probably. You see here, Grace Randolph says Teela and Andrea being a couple is heavily implied, and that 90% of people would have told Smith to not do what he did. So you see here, the sorceress was the most powerful character in the entire show. Teela was prominent in almost every episode. That was by design. So many powerful secondary female characters in the show, even if they didn't all get action figures. Did these people even watch He-Man at all? You see this review here. Sarah Michelle Gellar wasn't a fan of the original Master of the Universe cartoon growing up. The women were afterthought characters, the Buffy alum says. But Kevin Smith's animated Netflix series premiering July 23rd, where Gellar voices He-Man's warrior woman ally, Teela, is, well, a revelation. What hooked me was the story, Gellar said, of the sequel of the 80s show. These characters you dream about playing and emotions you dream about experiencing coming from the Slayer, that says a lot. Really? I mean, really? I mean, Teela was no afterthought. It's like, again, you have, and rightfully so, Clownfish is getting their victory lap. Then we get this article. Kevin Smith spoils the passing of a major character. I won't spoil it for you. And Masters of the Universe Revelation reveals that it was solely done to anger fans. Master of the Universe Revelation creator and showrunner Kevin Smith recently revealed, this is via Bonding in the Comics, by the way, that not only does a major established character die during the course of the show's story, but the decision to end this particular character was done solely and explicitly to make fans angry. And this is literally what he says. I've seen the clip, but I'm going to play it for you so you know that I'm not, taking this particular thing out of context. Like, this is a legitimate thing that he said, and this is something that happens in modern day comic books when new, NU fans take over an existing license, and they almost show contempt for the original fandoms. I mean, we've seen this with what they did to She-Ra. We've seen this countless times. We saw what they did to the Ghostbusters. Look, actors still got to get paid. Voice actors and actresses, they still got to get paid. So they're going to take the work. But they never really liked She-Ra. They never were a fan of He-Man. But they are interested in ruining things somebody else likes. The major revelation was first made public on July 12th when the Nerdist published a video interview conducted by their own Hector Navarro with Smith and Revelation voice actors Chris Wood, who is He-Man, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Tiffany Smith, about the process of bringing the new story to life and how the new series will excite older fans and new generations alike. I don't know why that has to be the constant narrative. You could just make the old fans happy. You know, there's a reason that people were a fan of this show. So why do you have to change it? Why not just give us more of that? At one point during the interview, Navarro speaks to Smith with his own personal love of Orko, telling the creator, "I think I'm an Orko guy. I think he's my favorite character in the entire franchise. He's so well done in the show," eliciting an enthusiastic cry of "God, yes, that makes me so happy" from Smith, before asking him, "If you had to, I hate to make you pick your babies, but do you have a favorite character in the He-Man Master of the Universe franchise?" Caught up in his enthusiasm. By the way, Kevin Smith has admitted in an interview that he was never a fan of He-Man, even though he now pretends he was a super fan of it. Caught up in the enthusiasm of the topic of Orko being brought up, Smith proceeded to unintentionally diverge from Navarro's original question in order to discuss why Revelation's iteration of Orko is very special to me. "I'll never forget the conversation that we had in the writer's room with me and Eric and Dia and Tim and Mark," Smith recalled. "You know, we're going through the show and going like, look, Orko, you know, it's not even 50-50, 75-25. 75% of people just did not like the character, saying he ruined the show for me and stuff like that. So we were like, all right, let's change that. How do you make Orko the most, quote, beloved character?" In the explanation, evoking Red Flag, raising flashbacks of Luke Skywalker in Star Wars The Last Jedi, Smith noted that the team went about making Orko beloved by introducing this kind of broken, sadder, wiser version of Orko, who still has a youthful voice and childlike enthusiasm for adventure. "And like he has this moment, even if you hated Orko your whole life," the showrunner continued, "well, he has that moment where he's talking about, please let me come along with you. I won't mess it up this time. He sounds like a five-year-old who just wants to be involved in stuff." Smith then explained, "So we wanted to make the audience fall in love with Orko because we knew we wanted to do something with the character at the end of episode 4. Have him be the hero, have him make a very heroic sacrifice. So it was kind of insidious," admitted Smith. "We were like, here's a character that nobody likes. Let's make everybody like him and then watch them get angry when the character they've always hated is taken from them. And they're like, but I like that guy now." While Nerdist's original video bore a light spoiler warning in the title, it was soon privated after fans pointed out that the passing of Orko was more than an insignificant plot point. However, as of writing, Nerdist has since taken down the original video and uploaded a version of Navarro's interview with Revelation Crew, which is completely omits Smith's discussion of Orko. Look, I don't have any inherent problems with, you know, having, you know, losing characters that you love if it fits like organically within the story. But here you have the dude in charge, Kevin Smith, by the way, who has repeatedly lied to us. And now he's saying, yeah, well, we just end this character because we want to see, you know, you cry about it. That's just not good writing. That's not coming from a good place. That's not coming from a creative place. That's coming from a place of evil and contempt for the fandom, I would argue. You know, and it's very frustrating that you would have this dude, you know, basically being like, wow, he's one of only a few characters that was on intro and they didn't think he was main enough character to care about. It seems like Kevin once again failed to learn from the character's backstories. Orko is a wizard from a different dimension. Is the court jester because he lost his wand while saving the young Prince Adam, the wand which made it possible for him to perform magic in this dimension. You know, I remember He-Man, you know, I was a huge fan when I was young. I don't know the lore like this. I didn't watch it as an adult. But it to me, it's just another perfect example of a hyper masculine character. being ruined by Hollywood and Netflix. On top of that, another fandom, predominantly male, gets to see their main character essentially emasculated, which is exactly what they wanted all along. Screw Kevin Smith and what he's done to He-Man. I'm not shocked in the least. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Chapter 2. Woke DC comic I Am Not Starfire annihilated on YouTube.
The reviews are starting to come in on the hilarious trash novel from DC, I Am Not Starfire. Now, look, I will point out quite clearly, this book is not for me. And I accept that in my criticizing it. You know, I have to accept that reality. That said, this isn't a YA book either. It just clearly isn't. I don't know who this book is for. I'm not saying it shouldn't exist, but, you know, in an era where comic books are struggling mightily to keep their head above water from a financial perspective, it's kind of curious that they would dedicate any amount of money to this book. And the reviews are flowing in. I'm really, really disappointed that DC turned the comment section off, because they robbed us of what would have absolutely been amazing comedy gold. But the trailer now sits at a whopping 2,000 upvotes to 53,000 downvotes. Now think about your DC. Even if every one of those 2,000 upvotes bought this book, it would be a spectacular failure. I'd be willing to bet that if I uploaded a video with a comic book or a book that I spent 2 days on, I would probably get more than 2,200 upvotes on the video. Would it be better than I Am Not Starfire? I think it's a pretty safe bet it would be. But I suppose that would remain to be seen. And then I took a look at Goodreads, which is a website that is used by people that read books. And let's just take a look at some of the reviews. 1 star. Why does DC keep hiring these untalented hacks? Are we going to forget Starfire and Nightwing had a daughter named Nightstar and in Kingdom Come? Who is the father? The daughter sounds like a wrist cutter who hates her parents for no reason. She hates Starfire but is in love with a popular girl? I remember when comics used to be about fun and had adventures. I don't know how Jim Lee could sign off on this. He lacks the managing skills of his image brother, Todd McFarlane, has. You see, I don't get all the hate. It's so annoying. If you aren't interested in this title, just don't read it. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, obviously what everybody's going to do. I mean, no one's going to read this book. It's an unmitigated disaster. Now, seems super pandery and self-inserty. This is definitely not Nightstar. No, literally, what the heck is this? Why was this made? I miss the days I didn't know this thing existed. Ah, yes, another superhero self-insert. DC really is dead, huh? I do think it's pretty funny that so many of these, like, soy-infused comic book artists. I say artists because, hey, look, I don't, you know, maybe if I put out a book, it would be worse than this. I don't have a deal with DC Comics. I don't write comics. I just know what I like and I know what I don't like. And this is quite frankly embarrassing for DC. What the F is this? What is this for? It's not a good idea to make a book about an unlikable and forgettable character that adds nothing to its own story besides ruin it. Like, this is my jam, 1 star. I'm immediately in love with this chubby goth look. I'm on record saying that I grew up wanting to embrace the goth aesthetic, but at 0 options as a plus-size teen in the 90s. So yeah, this girl speaks to my missed opportunities back in the day. Oh, that's from the... You still only rated it 1 star? That's the review from the Mary Sue. What? Oh, let's be serious for a second. This is the purest form of trash. I hope no one thinks I actually like this, because nah, fam. The article was just undeniably cringe. Like, If I Punished My 12-Year-Old Son to the Point of Pleading for Mercy books. Y'all know which book I'm giving him. So yeah, if DC really wants to go bankrupt, we need to help them. Thanks to DC NetGallery for an early copy in exchange for an honest review. Now, I will concede I've been a longtime Teen Titans fan, so it's fair to see my review as biased. But hear me out, I have a ton of qualms with this book. Unfortunately, I love Cammy Garcia's Raven Beast Boy series as well as other YA-geared graphic novels that DC has been pumping out lately, but this one is the worst I've read by far for a multitude of reasons. The art, it kept flip-flopping at some points. Corey was perfectly drawn in every panel, and eventually, villain no spoilers, was drawn very well too. Everyone else is kind of off, especially Mandy. But it might just be I don't like her hairstyle at all. Sometimes she looked outright terrifying in the art. This is like manga graphic novels are outselling anything DC and Marvel in the United States. I wonder why. Shake my head, people. Here are literally dropping DC and Marvel in favor of Japanese comics. I'm not sure why these comic companies keep investing in crap that nobody wants. It's perplexing. All top 20 best-selling graphic novels, according to NPD BookScan, were all manga for April 2021. DC and Marvel should be extremely concerned. Hopefully they can wake up. I actually don't think they care, if I'm being totally honest with you. I think that DC and Marvel are happy to just have the status quo maintained to pump out these books to maintain their licensing. I'm not sure that I how could you care? It's a good read with a few problems, captured alienation of many of my students. Wow, teacher, I'm glad you read it. 5-star. I'm not sure why this was 2 stars. I actually enjoyed it. Every book isn't for everybody. We sure see a lot of grown men giving this book a 5-star review. I wonder why. There's been a lot of hate directed toward this book, and I think it's unreasonable. I just finished an advanced copy, and I was pleasantly surprised. This is definitely a book for teens that are familiar with the Teen Titans cartoon, and that's okay. If you're not the target audience, and this doesn't look like your thing, you can ignore it and move on. Yeah, I mean, that's what everyone's doing. Except now it's getting called out. Billy Tucci calls out controversial DC Comics YA graphic novel I Am Not Starfire for its spicy language. In the latest gaffe concerning the book, illustrator and sheet creator Billy Tucci points out to the audience that the F word on one page of the book, that's supposed to be targeted towards a younger audience. Not quite apropos for young adult comics audience, is it, DC Comics? Tucci inquired in a tweet from a screen grab of the comic that he tagged DC in. If you look at the actual tweet, here it is. What are these? College brochures? All of the colleges? It's a very important decision for you to make. F. Perhaps you wish for the egg rolls. Oh, rolls? Sure. And then gave her egg rolls. I'm not really sure what's going on in this book at all. I assume you have to be an absolute moron to enjoy this book. And, you know, I just think that it's not exactly unreasonable to expect kids to know what good writing is. I don't know why DC thinks that they can just continue to put out this garbage. It's not a thing of unlimited resources. I mean, DC has unlimited resources. Who is the editor on this? He questioned further, knowing full well one assumes there would have been consequences for this kind of editorial snafu in times past when you had to read Image or Vertigo selections to get the verbiage of anything R-rated. Below the page, in the scene, Starfire dotes on her daughter, Mandy, with egg rolls, while the latter exclaims an expletive in narration, hoping her mom doesn't find the myriad of thrown out college applications. While some have praised the writing on other titles in the past, I'm Not Starfire's met with outrage, criticism, and sarcasm from fans and pundits who viewed it as one more reason American comic readers are flocking to manga in droves. The quality of the YA-targeted tome is as seen as substandard and not fitting DC's brand or usual output. Another problem critics have that they believe Mandy is a self-inserted character based on Tamaki herself in appearance and other aspects. That and the sophomoric way in which the graphic novel recycles a more compelling storyline with Blackfyre smells of unoriginality. Mandy isn't considered likable either. Those who scoped out the graphic novel find her presumed edginess annoying and pretentious. The character and book continue to get roasted on social media, as such as this post by Twitter user Lunar Archivist, who labels Mandy dumpster fire. Wrote the Archivist when retweeting the book's trailer, "Know the difference. It could save your life." Oh yeah, I saw this image. It was great. Starfire, Blackfyre, dumpster fire. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good meme. The show has been downvoted on YouTube with 49,000 dislikes, continues to get ratioed on Twitter, where replies on the embedded post where the 41 second clips are. As of writing, the trailer has 3,900 quote tweets, 1,700 likes, and a mere 298 retweets on Twitter. A dismal as it looks, I Am Not Starfire is set to hit stores July 27th. We'll actually see if that happens, because we're still waiting on a wide variety of other books, like The New Warriors, which was promised to us in all of its horrible glory and still hasn't been delivered. And a wide variety of these other books that they thought were just going to be a huge success because of my Twitter that ultimately were ignored or quietly removed from the shelf.
Chapter 3. After kneeling for the national anthem, the women's U.S. Olympic soccer team suffers a heartbreaking loss.
The U.S. women's soccer team is led by slacktivist Megan Rapinoe, one of the least likable characters ever. Normally, I would think it's hilarious when somebody kicks submarine sandwiches into people's mouths, but because she's so unlikable and so, like, just vile, it just doesn't work. And we got a bit of instant karma. After winning 44 straight games, the women's soccer team decided to take the knee for BLM at the Olympic opener, and they lost the game. Take a minute to leave a like on it right there. Just give me a like for karma. And you know what? You can't protest America if you never make the podium at the Olympics, right? I mean, it would be just a shame. Just a shame if they get just ousted early on. U.S. women's soccer team takes stunning loss after kneeling for BLM at Olympic opener. U.S. women's soccer team took a devastating 3-0 loss to Sweden early Wednesday morning in their Tokyo Olympic opener, breaking their 44-game winning streak. 44 games in a row, won. Take that. All 22 players on Team USA took a knee in solidarity with the radical leftist group BLM before the game, a major point of contention with U.S. fans. You know, again, I think that the Olympics, I think that the politics and sports conversation, like, we've won that argument. We won. Like, there is no denying that it leads to lower ratings. The NBA, we just finished a thrilling NBA Finals. Ratings stunk. The NFL ratings stunk. Major League Baseball ratings stink. And they said, oh, it's just because there's not fans in the stand and it's not as fun to watch. Baloney. Fans are back in the stands and people still aren't watching. The U.S. came into Tokyo Games with the number one ranking in the world. Sweden is fifth ranked in the world. And notably, knocked out Team USA on penalty kicks in the 2016 Olympics in the quarterfinals. The two teams paired off in April, which resulted in a 1-1 draw, the only game the U.S. women had not won since January 2019. Now they post out, and let's just take a look at the comments here. Let's just see. Let's see. 1.5 thousand comments, 4,000 likes. Things you love to see. Hey, Mr. Anderson's going to be sending me some beer. He had lost a friendly wager over the NBA Finals to me. Sweden says thank you. Thank you for putting them in their place. Terrible game. I've never seen them play this bad. Need to do much better next game. I mean, USA play kickball. They need a coach that has them possess the ball and work from the back. I mean, ultimately, you know, there's a lot of bots in these, but poor coaching. Maybe you should focus on actually, you know, playing soccer instead of, you know, having political statements. It's stunning. You could see Great Britain knelt and they won. It's almost as if two things aren't connected. Well, maybe they aren't. Although it's not exactly the same thing, is it? You know, it's just people are absolutely losing their minds. As far as I'm concerned, we don't have a women's soccer team representing the United States. Yeah, I'd say probably. I mean, like, oh, my Lord. I mean, it's bless their hearts coming in here. Everyone's just, look, I mean, yeah, obviously they're probably not related, but that doesn't mean we can't enjoy a little bit of karmic justice. I mean, this guy, remember saying, I deserve this. I deserve this. She was famous for saying that. She also, by the way, in case you didn't know, had a few, where was this? If I remember, this was just 2 weeks ago. Resurfaced Megan Rapinoe tweets risk major damage to her image. Old tweet posted back in 2011 has returned to haunt renowned LGBTQ equal pay activist as recently as Victoria's Secret ambassador Megan Rapinoe. A couple days ago, they announced that they were going to ditch their good-looking models and hire ugly people. I mean, normal-looking people. Instead, the retailers opted in favor of a group of strong females based on social actions and not their body proportions. The collective of seven major females, blah, 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 don't care. Body shaming, racist behavior, discrimination, and prejudice have no place in today's world. That's the primary message these ambassadors want to instill as Victoria's Secret looks to redefine itself. I'm not sure why you'd want to rebrand something that is, you know, clearly working. I mean, why don't you just, I don't know, expand your line? I don't think, you know, to me, as somebody who has actually, you know, spent a lot of time there with the old lady picking out items, she's not really impressed with their quality. They're overpriced. Maybe they should work on that. I mean, they kind of have a monopoly in that space. If they really cared about women, they'd give them a strapless bra that didn't make them look saggy. Natasha Kai, who Rapinoe addressed in the tweet, is of Chinese, Hawaiian, Caucasian, and Filipino heritage and a proud lesbian. Megan Rapinoe saying, "You look Asian with those closed eyes." Now, she still has not deleted this tweet. I don't think it's a problematic tweet. I mean, maybe she legitimately looks of Asian descent. Equal pay merchant canceled. W. She's also famously demanded equal pay for the women's soccer team, which, of course, I would support if they were, you know, equally, you know, selling out stadiums and selling the same amount of merch. You don't get paid the same just because you do the same thing. You have to actually generate the same number of revenue. Purple hair, equal pay merchant canceled, 11,000 likes, king. I mean, you have, I don't think, Victoria's Secret, is this your model? What do you think of this take? Their eyes are also closed. Does this stand for anti-Asian sentiments? I wonder what day she decided to stop racisming. Now, I don't think it's necessarily anything that's a huge deal. Not on brand. Liberal soccer star Megan Rapinoe under fire for Asian eyes tweet about an ex-teammate one day after being named the face of newly woke Victoria's. Is it Daily Mail? Like, whenever I see any news site, I just assume they're like far left leaning. But I don't think this is, they're using woke as a term of endearment. Liberal soccer star Megan Rapinoe's come under fire a week after she made a tweet where she was made more than 10 years was revealed, in which she mocked someone for looking Asian because of their eyes. Rapinoe, the new face of Victoria's Secret, she's only 35? Ugh, that's a, I mean, dang, you're only, she's only 35? 35? That can't be right. This tweet is bad, but the real sin is that it was sent with a BlackBerry. My husband is Asian. He doesn't look, his eyes don't look closed unless he's sleeping. Again, this is just giving someone a bit of their own medicine. I don't find the statement offensive. Now, I'm not Asian. That may shock you to hear, but I don't find it, you know, offensive in the slightest. But that's just me. I don't know. I'm not a social justice individual who, you know, survives on outrage culture. And I just think it's a great thing to see. Megan Rapinoe reacts as they lost. Again, do I think the two are perfectly related? Probably not. But do I think it's hilarious? And am I happy that they lost? Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Chapter 4. Amazon's new MMO, New World, will destroy your PC.
Amazon's new MMO, well, yeah, new MMO, New World has entered closed beta, allowing pre-purchasers of the game, as well as, I guess, a few testers and people that they let into the program into it. And wow, I mean, I guess there's a lot of interest in new MMOs out there. This will be another hit to Blizzard's King of the Mountain World of Warcraft. May even draw people away from Final Fantasy XIV for some time, although that seems like an unstoppable juggernaut at this point. The Amazon New World beta, again, now remember, these are mostly pre-purchasers, hit a concurrent player base on Steam of 190,000. It felt like it had been forever since we hit a big MMO launch. This is via PC Gamer. Until the summer, between Crowfall, Swords of Legends Online, and Amazon's upcoming New World, there's a sudden glut of them. But of those three, New World seems to be the most popular, judging by the 190,000 players that jumped on for closed beta simultaneously yesterday. And if you're like me, you know, I just downloaded the 30 gigabyte update this morning, and so I won't get into it until probably tonight. There's a lot of people that probably pre-purchased the game that haven't been in there. According to SteamDB, New World peaked at 190,811 concurrent players and currently has just over 160,000 playing. That's enough to make New World the fourth biggest game on Steam, just ahead of Grand Theft Auto V and Apex Legends. It's also dominating Twitch, where it's currently the second most popular game with over 300,000 viewers. There are some caveats to the numbers. Currently, the closed beta is accessible to those who have pre-ordered the game, but because the beta and actual games are separate listings on Steam, it's likely some players could have pre-ordered and refunded that purchase just to get beta access. There's probably also a lot of players who jumped in without having to pay any money, given away, you know, with beta keys. But regardless, still New World is looking like it'll be the big MMO hit of the summer. For comparison, Swords of Legends Online reportedly sold 200,000 copies, which is legit, in the week of its launch, which is still a lot of copies. But it has only peaked at just over 18,000 concurrent players. It's a pretty good MMO, though, once you get persevere through its boring and repetitive leveling process. So if that's true, let's just say that I have no reason to, like, let's just for a fun little exercise. That's what, about 1/10? So 200,000 sold. Let's just call it 20,000 concurrent. That's 10x, right? If Amazon had that number, that would mean that 2 million people have purchased the game. That would be insanity. I don't believe that's the case, but I really hope it is. Obviously, Amazon has a lot of work to do with the game. In particular, how about it bricking the $1,500 NVIDIA RTX 3090s. That's kind of a problem. Bricking RTX 3090s and graphics card drought is not a good look. Now, to be fair, it seems like every time a new game comes out or, you know, something like this, there's always some sort of rumors or opinions around, you know, or suspicions around it causing problems with graphics cards. The closed beta for Amazon's New World MMO just went live yesterday, and today there are multiple reports that it's somehow killing GeForce RTX 3090 graphics cards. That's hardware that's mighty tough to replace right now. The reports have come through New World subreddit, cross-posted in our NVIDIA. After Grey178 posted about the death of their RTX 3090, Twitter is seeing some instances of dead GPUs as well. Playing the New World beta on my EVGA 3090 has fried my graphics card completely. There are many accounts of the same thing happening with the same card and the same game. Team EVGA, play New World. I just want to make sure this doesn't happen to others. It's a bizarre situation. Software should not be able to just roast a graphics card in 2021. There are meant to be a whole raft of fail-safes built into your hardware that should stop it from overheating, clocking too high, or drawing more power than it can handle. This is how overclocking is pretty much foolproof these days, if a little unrewarding. But seemingly, these fail-safes aren't so safe in New World, with the game overheating GPUs and causing power spikes all over the place. The general consensus seems to be that sound to uncapped frame rates in the menu screens, with graphics silicon far too excited and drawing too much juice through VRAM and frying them. This isn't the first time something like this has happened. StarCraft II was another culprit back in the day. If you run New World with a capped frame rate from the off, with your GPU underclocked and undervolted, with strict power limit engaged, there's a very high chance you won't destroy your expensive graphics card. Now you have here, obviously, how to get through and turn them off. Visuals, max FPS, just set it to 60. There's no way I'm going to try to dive into New World beta and see if my RTX 3090 can handle it until we get update from Amazon or NVIDIA about what's causing this. Now, maybe it's just the EVGA model. I don't know. I don't have a 3090. I can't afford a 3090. I do have an RTX 2080 Ti, and I feel like that should be plenty. You know, if one of my wonderful viewers wants to, you know, put me on to one of those, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But for now, I think I'll be fine. You know, New World, as like an aside, really does feel kind of unique. I jumped into it. I only put maybe 4 hours into the alpha, but I really felt like I was playing something a little bit different. It felt a little bit like World of Warcraft. It felt a little bit like Final Fantasy, as, you know, MMOs do. But I really like the resource gathering and all the other things that you do in the game that makes it feel unique in its own right. I hope that there are more and more options. What does this mean for Blizzard? Well, probably not good news, considering they're already hemorrhaging players to Final Fantasy XIV Online, myself included. I was all ready to jump back into Final Fantasy Online. Now I'm thinking I should probably play New World for a little bit, refamiliarize myself with it. It does also seem, by the way, that this issue peculiar to EVGA cards at the moment, though New World is evidently pushing other GPUs too hard as well, with reports of unnecessary high power usage in the menu screens and stupidly high temperatures as a result. This means the argument about whether or not the hardware issue or a game issue encountered at the same time EVGA 3090 FTW with power supply of over 1,000 watts, says one Reddit user. I guess it's not a game issue. The cards were just bad and waiting for the right conditions to fail. Add me to the list, writes another EVGA 3090 FTW3 ran fine for about 30 minutes. Black screen, game audio still going. Fan shoots up to 100% after black screen. Hard reset, now no video. So is New World the first game to really take advantage of these cards' capabilities and push them at this rate, and it was just kind of waiting to fail? It seems unlikely that Amazon's going to come out here and like take responsibility, so to speak, for all these bricking cards. You know, around launch of the RTX 30 series cards, There were several cars reported of cars failing because of power componentry not being up to the job. A lot of the blame was put on capacitors, but VRAM or VRMs got some blame too. EVGA itself noted that some of the early boards, those that went out to reviewers, had insufficiently capable capacitors, but they supposedly never got out to retail. NVIDIA salved the issue by releasing a driver that pulled back a little on the power front, and since we've not really seen any problems. Certainly with the power color RTX 3080 we had, which kept falling over before patch, it was far happier afterwards. I guess Amazon will learn its lesson with Bezos now back from space. On top of that, we had kind of a hilarious moment with the game as Annie Fuchsia gets permanently banned from New World. That's right, after milking a cow. New World's closed beta went live on July 20th, and Annie Fuchsia, or Fuchsia, I don't know, she used to follow me on Twitter. I don't know how she says her name, was among many streamers ready to get in the action. While in the first few moments it seemed to go well enough, minus a couple of connection-related hiccups, the streamer seemed to be enjoying herself. That was until she decided to try and milk a cow for whatever reason. The game decided that was a bannable offense. After finishing milking the cow, a bottle of milk appeared on the screen, claiming she had received a permanent ban. Bad spelling aside, she was absolutely bewildered. What? That's not even spelled correctly. The pop-up didn't provide any determining why she'd banned either, simply stating, reason, you have been banned. Eddie was under the impression that milking cows wasn't allowed, but luckily fellow Twitch streamer Asmongold heard about her ban and called her to provide some assistance. My chat was telling me you got banned. I talked to somebody from New World. They're watching the stream and they said it was an accident, he revealed. They're looking into it. Oh, so it's okay to milk cows? Annie said. Unfortunately, Asmongold jokingly replied. What do you mean, unfortunately? This is a great thing. It means we can drink milk, as she was quick to retort. While the issue ended up actually being server-related, the fact that the ban occurred after she milked a cow was utterly ridiculous. Not to mention that the weird spelling seemed like a callback of video games yesteryear, such as the infamous your winner in Big Rigs. Because the game is still in closed beta, it's very likely the spelling and absurd bans will get resolved, but it was quite a weird first impression from the Amazon MMO, to say the least. Well, this is why we have betas. Right. This is why, we work hard playing these games, and it seems like really every game that comes out nowadays is in some various form of a beta. So this is just par for the course. I would say I'm excited to try out New World. If you're playing or you're trying it out, let me know your comments in the comment section down below.